I'll never forget living in Brooklyn, driving, and I had our middle daughter in the car, Tiffany. She was probably about 10 months old in the car seat. As I'm going to the office, this guy cuts me off, and I remember hollering out, "Stupid!" Kept driving, making my way to the office. Somebody else did it again, and I said, "Stupid!" It happened the third time, and I slammed on the brakes, and I was about to say, "Stupid!" And my daughter, 10 months old, said, "Stupid!"
When it comes to teaching our kids the values we want them to learn, what we do tends to stick more than what we say.
Because these values are caught. They are not taught.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. A father's role is important in helping us understand the place our Heavenly Father desires to have in the life of each of His children. And this week, we're sharing a message Charles Tapp gave last Father's Day as he reveals the lessons he learned from his father and how to make sure our own children receive the godly wisdom they need. With his message, "Lessons from My Father."
As we pause this weekend to honor our Father, those men who have been called to play such an extremely important role in our lives, I couldn't help but to reflect upon the profound impact that my own father had and continues to have in my life, despite the fact that he is no longer with us. He passed around 20 years ago. As I took time to consider what my father, Charles Bishop Tapp, has meant to me, I began to jot down some of the lessons that he passed on to me throughout my childhood that eventually carried over into my adult years, which helped me to become the man that I am today. And in so doing, I discovered something very interesting in that many, if not most, of the lessons that I received from him were caught and not taught. And what I mean by this is that my father rarely set me down and said, "Son, now this is what you need to do in order to be a success in this life." Rather, there was no formal instruction on his part, but I simply caught these lessons as I watched him live them out day in and day out in his own life. And in preparation for today's message, and I admonish many of you to do the same before this weekend is over, I sat down with pen in hand and decided to jot down as many of the lessons that I learned from my father. I just wrote them down, and I'm going to share with you my top five lists today. I call this Tapp's Top Five List of Lessons Learned. Here are just a few. Number one, take care of your family by any means necessary. My father worked 24 years for the auto industry, and if you know anything about the auto industry, especially back in the day, many times they would go on strike, sometimes for weeks, yay, even months. And when my father was not working, he did not sit at home and watch soap operas on television, but he did whatever he could to make money to take care of his family, regardless of what the work was. Sometimes it was working as a day laborer, painting or cleaning or doing janitorial work until they went off strike and back to work. Why? Because he learned that as a father, it was his responsibility to take care of his family. Fathers, lesson number two, he taught me a love and appreciation for children. This is why I connect so with children today. My father was the Leave It to Beaver father of the neighborhood. And what I mean by that is when some child's bike broke, or if they needed help, or if they wanted to go to a baseball game, they didn't go to their father, they would come to my father. That's how comfortable they felt with him. Sometimes I didn't like it. Sometimes I wanted to tell them, go home. Go to your own father. But I would just watch him, how he interacted with children. When he spoke to them, he would get down and look at them eye to eye. Lesson number three. He taught me that if you want something, don't be afraid to ask for it and never be afraid to work for it. I remember buying my first bike. I asked him to buy me a bike. He said, go raise the money. He said, if you get half of it, I'll give you the other half. And I used to collect pop bottles. I know most of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Where you would collect soda pop bottles and you could redeem them for a nickel, for a dime, you remember? And if you got the big ones, you could get 25 cents. And I would cash those in and I got half the money. My father says, now I will buy you a bike. My father said, if you want something, ask for it, but never be afraid to work for it. Lesson number four. My father taught me the importance of proper grammar. Even though he himself only had a 10th grade education, he was a voracious reader. He would always correct us in our grammar, especially when we would say things like, can I, when we should have said, may I. Lesson number five. He taught me never to say I can't until I've actually made an attempt to see if I could. And because of this, I was open to try new things, things that could and later would change the entire trajectory of my life. I would even go as far to say that I would not be here standing right now where I am today if I had not learned that lesson from my father. Never say you can't until you've actually tried to see if you could. Just about anybody can father a child, but to be a father, it calls for a great deal more. It calls for a man who is willing to teach not merely with words, but to teach with actions. In our message today, Lessons from Our Father, we will take a look at the lessons from another father, a father who not only passed them down to his son, but because they are now part of sacred scripture, these valuable lessons are now available to us as believers. And the father I'm referring to is none other than Solomon himself, aka the wisest man who ever lived. And the lessons that have since been passed down throughout the centuries are contained in what we call the wisdom literature in the book of Proverbs. Now, despite the fact that it was written thousands of years ago, if you've ever read the book of Proverbs, you realize that it sounds as though it could have been written in our time and in our day. Why? Because it deals with many of the same challenges, the same problems that you and I face in our lives today. It has been said that Proverbs is the world's finest collection of sound, sanctified common sense that has ever been written. And when you read Proverbs, you will discover that it's the words, the teaching, the discourse of a father to his son, trying to keep him from making the same kinds of mistakes that he made himself. The purpose of Proverbs is clear, and it is stated in the very first few verses of the first chapter, and that is to give wisdom and to give understanding. And if I had to choose a key verse for the entire book of Proverbs, I would have to say it is Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It is a verse I'm sure most, if not many of us, are familiar with, which says, the fear of what? The Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One who is understanding. Some have defined wisdom as having experience and knowledge and good judgment. It has been said that it's possessing insight into knowing how to use knowledge, how to use information, how to use facts wisely. But here's the thing. Having knowledge doesn't make you wise. You can have knowledge but not have wisdom, but you cannot have wisdom without having knowledge. And knowledge in this context is more than information, but it's information that has been acquired through the result of having experienced this thing that we call life. You may be able to Google the word wisdom, but you cannot Google wisdom. Wisdom is something that life teaches us. Wisdom is the ability to act properly with the knowledge that one has. For instance, knowledge understands that the light has turned red, but wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom says, walk around it. Knowledge is having memorized the Ten Commandments, but it is wisdom who says you need to obey those commands. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom learns to love God. In chapter 3 of his epistle, James lists 8 qualities of godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from the very heart of God. Turn there with me this morning to James chapter 3 and verse 17. In this one verse, he lists 8 qualities of godly wisdom. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, which means there is also a wisdom that is not from heaven, is first of all what? Pure. It is peace-loving. It is a wisdom that calls for you to be and me to be considerate, to be submissive, to be full of what? Mercy. Isn't it interesting how much we love mercy? But it's usually when we're receiving the mercy and not granting the mercy. Wisdom is of good fruit. It is impartial, not always trying to see things from your point of view only. Wisdom is sincere. Wisdom is honest. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is not hypocritical. James makes it clear that there is a wisdom that comes from heaven, a wisdom that is of God, and he's implying here that there's also a wisdom that is of this world, that is of this age. Worldly wisdom promotes self. Godly wisdom does not choose to elevate self. Godly wisdom chooses to elevate others. Worldly wisdom seeks the highest place. Godly wisdom seeks the lowest place, that of being a servant. Worldly wisdom trusts in earthly possessions. Godly wisdom trusts in treasures in heaven. It is the wisdom of this world that says, seeing is what? Believing. But godly wisdom admonishes us that faith, for we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. And it is this godly wisdom that Solomon shares throughout the entire book of Proverbs. And in chapters 1-9, there are 10 separate discourses, 10 separate conversations, fatherly talks, if you please, where he attempts to pass on the wisdom that he has learned from his father and from life and from experience and pour it into the life of his child, his son. I invite you to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and let's just take quickly a look at verses 1-5. Look at what it says here. Hear, my children, the instruction of a what? Father. and give attention to no understanding. Verse 2, for I give you what? Good doctrine. Do not forsake my what? My law. That word law simply means my words. As my mother would always say, her word was what? Law. Some of you were born back in my day. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, so he said, he also taught me and said to me, please don't miss this, let your heart what? Retain my words, keep my commands, and do what? Live. Look at what he says in verse 5. Get what? Wisdom. He didn't say get money. He didn't say get position. He said get wisdom.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Lessons from My Father. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week we're sharing a message Charles Tapp gave last Father's Day as he reveals lessons learned from his own father and how to make sure our own children receive the godly wisdom they desperately need. As he continues with the rest of his message, Lessons from My Father.
Do not forget it, he says, nor turn away from what? The words of my mouth. Even though Solomon said this so many years ago, doesn't this sound, parents, fathers, like the words we have told our children over the years? All of our children are adults now. They're of age. But when they were children, I could easily say as a father, do not do that. I could say to them, do not go there. I could easily say, you can't have that, and my word was what? Law. Guess what? Mark, my conversation has changed. Now, if I see them doing something or going in a certain direction, instead of saying, you can't or you better not, now my conversation is something like this. If I were you, or you may want to consider, or have you thought about, but back in the day, no. And it was law, you can't, and it was law, but now my tone has changed dramatically. You may want to reconsider your course of action. But the point that Solomon is making here is pretty clear. And that is this. That one of the most valuable lessons that we as parents, especially as fathers, is that God expects us to impart to our children the importance of having godly wisdom. I looked for a good definition of godly wisdom. Went up on the internet. Thank God for the internet. Amen? Amen? But I could not find one that I liked. So I decided to write my own. It's not on the internet yet. Here's my definition of godly wisdom. It is teaching our children to live by the principles of the kingdom of God while having to live in the kingdom of this world. Whoa. It's similar to what Jesus said in John chapter 17 in the last prayer that he prayed to his Father when he said, Father, don't take them out of the world because you've got something for them to do in the world, but just keep them in the world, but make sure that while they're in the world, they're not of the world. And the only way to accomplish that is that while we're living geographically, physically in the world, then the principles of the kingdom of God and the wisdom of God has to be living and alive in us. Newsflash, the world is not getting better. And the only way, dear friends, we can live in this world and not be of this world is we have to have godly wisdom living in our lives. And as I said earlier, these lessons, this wisdom, these values are not taught, they are caught. Which means as fathers, especially you young fathers, and it's different for your generation today, you're a little better than we were, and we are a little better than our parents were, but you have to spend time with your children. And I'm not talking about quality, I'm talking about quantity. I spend 5 minutes, that's quality time. You need quantity. Quantity will produce quality and not the other way around. I read recently that a father is respected because he gives his children leadership. He's appreciated because he gives his children care. He's valued because he gives his children time. But he is loved because he gives his children the one thing they treasure most, and that is himself. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27, going back to our scripture reading. Solomon's words, as he continues his plea to his son to pay careful attention to his instruction in wisdom. He says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, in everything that makes you who you are. For they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. You know, some of the language I hear young people use today, not just young people, children. And I'm going, where did that come from? Nobody sat down and taught them this is the language you use. They caught it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't get distracted. Don't turn to the right nor to the left. And your eyelids look right before you. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Stay on track. Remove your foot from evil. If you find your path is going toward evil, Solomon said, get off the path. But I love what he says later on down in Proverbs 4, where he talks about pondering your path. He says, the path of your feet. And by this, he means that we should counsel our children, fathers, to examine their lives when we see that the path, that the road they are on is taking them in a direction that will be harmful to them. And I don't care how old our children are, if we see them going in a direction that is harmful, we can't tell them what to do, but we can counsel them as to what they shouldn't do. Then it's up to them and their God after that. But a father never stops being a father. Solomon says, ponder the path of your feet. Tell your children that the way that they're going is a way that is harmful. And I love what the great philosopher Socrates says. He says, the unexamined life is not worth living. you don't know where you're going in life, Socrates says, then your life is not worth living. And as parents and fathers especially, we must take it as our responsibility to help our children to find the path that they need to be on. But we can't do that if we're not spending time with them. But if we want our words, if we want our counsel to have the kind of impact that it needs to have, and helping our children to follow a way that leads to godly wisdom, then we ourselves must place our lives under the examination of the Word of God ourselves. Because these values are caught. They are not taught. I'll never forget living in Brooklyn, and I had our middle daughter in the car, Tiffany. She was probably about 10 months old in the car seat. And traffic, if you know anything about Brooklyn, traffic. As I'm going to the office, this guy cuts me off, and I remember hollering out, "Stupid!" Kept driving, making my way to the office. Somebody else did it again, and I said, "Stupid!" It happened a third time. And I slammed on the brakes, Doc, and I was about to say, "Stupid!" And my daughter, 10 months old, said, "Stupid!" I can't make this up. I want to close with this quote from the 18th century preacher, theologian Charles Bridges. And I love the language. I wish we kind of spoke this way today. He says, "A neglected Bible is the melancholy proof." Look at that. "The melancholy proof of a heart that is alienated from God." But look at this last line. "For how can we have a spark of love for him," talking about God, "if that book that is full of his revealed glory is what? Despised." In other words, how can I tell my child this is the way to go when I myself are not going that way? Study your Bible, son. "Well, Dad, when was the last time you..." The values, for the most part, that our children have, they learn from us, not because we taught it to them, but they caught them. Not all. Some they catch from the culture. Some they catch from the schools, even Christian schools. But it's my responsibility as a father, and your responsibility as a father and as a parent, to do my part, to do your part, to place ourselves under the wisdom of God, so that I can impart the wisdom of God to my children, not through lecturing them, but through living it for them. Who says amen to that? And trust me, they will catch some of it, because that is what ultimately will make the difference in teaching our children, helping them to understand what true godly wisdom is really all about. Amen.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, "Lessons from My Father." And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, you can't be a flexitarian. You can't follow me only when it's convenient. You can't follow me when it's easy. That's what Jesus was telling this young man. You want to follow me? Take everything you got and sell it.
Next week, you'll want to listen in again as we go back to the archives for another powerful message from Pastor Tapp titled, "The Rich Old Ruler." Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.